All right, welcome to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and Bill Newell, of course, our general manager of everything, working on tomorrow's drop with the North Shore Sports Writers. And lots of information there to be, displayed probably around 8 a.m. tomorrow with the Salem News sports writers, including Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and Nick Kukuru from the Gloucester Times. Meantime, we're here. Tim and I are here. And let me just stop the music. We're going to talk a little hockey at first. We start a little early for a reason. We're going to talk with Newburyport High School hockey coach Paul Yameen pretty quickly at the top of the hour. Newburyport, their first game was postponed, and I'm not sure why, versus Franklin. And then Franklin beat Gloucester on Saturday. Coach Yameen's Newburyport Clippers had a 2-0 loss to Malden Catholic over the weekend, so that was their first game. Meanwhile, Coach Dunbar, I believe they're 2-0, but I think I saw on the paper they're 3-1, so I got to figure out why that discrepancy. But Winthrop doing very well, winning a real close game. I guess it was an overtime on Saturday against Danvers, 3-2. So they'll be our guest first half hour or so, and then Basketball Insider will come up at the bottom of the hour with Mike Grenier. And I don't really want to talk about the team that was formerly known as the six-time Super Bowl champion. So, Tim, is there some place we can start with good news?
No, you're right. I was going to tell you, I don't want to talk about them either. It's gotten to the, you know, it's just gotten to the point where there's nothing changes. You know, when you see a second-year quarterback as frustrated as he is,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's yelling on the field. He's yelling at the offensive coordinator. You can tell he's cussing him out. And that's having a direct impact on the offense's performance. It's not good. It's not good. And Bill is just, I don't know if Bill's yelling behind the scenes, but, you know, it's like he's just watching it all unfold. And it's like, okay, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Well, I'm hoping Mike will have some good news at the bottom of the hour, because it looks like the Celtics have hit a rough patch. And the Bruins have had a little bit of up and down, but they're doing okay. So that's the good news there. And I'm baffled by the Red Sox, Tim. Totally baffled.
Well, you know, everybody said that, and I saw a story today, you know, when they brought on Story, that he was the shortstop plan all along, and they were going to let Bogaerts go. And, you know, now they bring up one of their new, they'll move him over to shortstop, they'll bring up one of the younger kids to play second base. It's like, you just don't know what that front office is thinking. You really don't. And I'll tell you, you might see Corrigan within a year. He might just say, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, we're doing nothing to develop a team. We're doing everything to disrupt this team.
Well, and the news goes that they signed this all-star third baseman to be a DH or play first base. Okay, we'll see. You know, because they have a pretty good third baseman at the moment, you know. Jeez. All right, Coach, why don't we take our first break, and we'll come back with Coach Yameen. This is North Shore Sports Night, and we'll be back in just a second or two. If all goes well.
What are the odds?
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSONewsSports.com is connecting you to the North Shore with great local sports coverage. Live play-by-play football, Monday night sports night show, the game night football show, feature spotlight interviews with coaches and players, the Salem News Sports Writers Podcast, and joining us this fall, Nick and Nick in the North Shore Sports Desk and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, the place to hear and see positive local coverage, making connections that support the North Shore.
All right, Coach Paul Yamin of Newburyport High School Hockey has joined us now. I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns. And, Coach, I guess the first item of business is how's your recovery coming along with the bad tendon?
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. The Newburyport News said 2022, so forgive me. So you're back on the ice then?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Achilles a while ago.
Well, how long did that take for recovery? Because that's a serious injury, isn't it?
It was bad, about a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Lords of mercy. All right, so let's get down to it. We usually start this time of year. We need a little bit of a review. You guys finished in a dogfight with Linfield last year. So tell me what you lost in terms of firepower, senior leadership, and so on, and how your first couple of weeks have gone prior to the Malden Catholic game.
Well, we lost three seniors, so we return a lot this year. But that being said, we lost about 55 points. So John Groth was one of the better players in the state last year, I think. And so he's tough to replace. But we do have a lot of returning guys, and I think we can spread it around a little more this year. So we're excited about that.
All right. Tim, you are with us, right, Coach? Tim?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good to be there, Rick.
All right. Your turn.
Coach, when you looking to replace that many points, what specific traits are you looking for with the new guys that are coming into the program?
Well, I think we have a little more depth up front this year, and we had some freshmen and sophomores that got a lot of time last year, so we expect some guys to step up, and I think if we can spread it out a little more, like I think John had over half of our points scored last year, and this year it's tough to replace that, but I think we can do that.
Somebody I was talking to this week went up and saw you guys, and they said you've got some size, but your schedule, you're starting off right away with a tough schedule against MC?
Yeah, we actually were supposed to play Franklin first.
Right.
And I've never experienced anything like what we had happen this year. We had 16 guys out with a very bad flu. Like last week, I think we had one day with enough guys to have a full practice.
Oh.
So, not in my 20 years have I ever had to postpone a game because of something like that.
Mm.
But thank God for Coach Blaine and Franklin, and they, they allowed us to do that, and we're making it up in January. So we did play Malden Catholic on Saturday, and, good game. Could have went either way, I think. We lost 3-1. They got an empty netter at the end, so one-goal game, and I was very happy and proud of the way our guys played after mm-hmm. what we battled all week,
Yeah, absolutely. Tim?
Gloucester played Franklin the other night and came away with a lot. Will you talk to the Gloucester coach to find out what Franklin has just to give you a little heads up and a little early scouting?
Well, we've played Franklin for a long time. Coach Blaine's been there for longer than I've been in Newburyport. He actually retired, I think, 3 years ago, and they hired a new coach, and I don't know what happened, but they stopped playing us. They went to a different schedule, and he actually called me this summer and asked me if we had an opening, and I'm like, "You're back?" And he says, "I'm back."
So he retired but doesn't know it yet, huh?
yeah, he's a great guy, and they're a very good program. This year, it's the same every year, juniors and seniors. And, so it's always a task to go play them, but we look forward to it. And I know what they bring. I know how they play. So we'll be ready to go.
But Paul, without making excuses, and I know coaches never do, but with that many kids out sick and then coming back and trying to get ready for what is essentially your opening game, just tell me about what was that like to coach? You said you've never been through that before, so I'm wondering, were some of the kids sluggish, or was it tough getting back into a rhythm? How'd that go?
It was very difficult. Even the COVID year, wasn't this bad, and some of them were, like, very high fevers, 4 or 5 day fevers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. But, you know, we pride ourselves on being a fit team. And I think that helps us when stuff like that happens. So I'm not going to make any excuses. We went out there and played very, very well, I thought, on Saturday. I mean, I thought we outshot them. I know we outshot them. I thought we out-everything them, except for scoring. So it was a tough loss, but, you know, Coach Cooch is a good coach, and they're a good team, and we'll move on.
Coach, how much ice time for practice do you guys get during the regular season?
Well, we get, you know, we skate 5-6 days a week, be it 2 games and 4 practices, or, you know, 3 games and 3 practices, or 5 and 1, but we skate 6 days a week. So we get enough.
Do you have a good or an accommodating time schedule for your practices?
Well, we used to until the city of Newburyport changed our school hours because of some research saying that kids needed more sleep, which I totally don't believe is true. But we start now at, 8:15, and we get out at 2:42. So we used to have a 3 o'clock hour 3 days a week, which was great. We'd skate and, you know, either watch some film after or go into the weight room after, and the kids would be home at 5:30. Now we skate 8 o'clock Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Thursday night. We got a 4 o'clock hour on Monday, 5 o'clock hour on Friday.
I'm with you, Coach. Tim and I are both educators as well. We both taught at Gloucester High School, and I don't understand that. Some of the research that we were told from professional development, we found out over the years, wasn't research at all, and it was a lot of baloney in terms of learning styles and stuff. So I'm glad you go with your instincts. And as a coach, I think you know what works best. Let me ask you about the league, Paul, before we check in on St. Mary's. The league seems to be better and better and tougher and more competitive every single year, and last year was outstanding with a number of teams that went to the tournament and so on. What do you see out of the Cape Ann League this year?
I think it'll be pretty much the same. I think that Linfield, you know, every year they seem to put a good product out there, and I think Triton has a lot of good young players. They had a bunch of freshmen playing last year, so I expect them to be a lot better. And I don't know much about North Reading. I know they lost some guys, but you know, they're usually a tournament team, so you know, it's always fun playing the Cal games and you know, the rivalries we have with them, and we look forward to that.
Absolutely. Tim, final thoughts with Coach Amin?
Coach, has the realignment of the MIAA amongst the various divisions impacted your scheduling to any great degree?
Not really. You know, when they canceled the Super 8, I thought it was best for us to go back to Division 2. And just because, you know, I don't think it's right to ask our guys to travel to DC High and on their home ice for a tournament game. It's unlikely we could win that game. You know, I think if we play them in the regular season, we'd have a shot. But if you take all those top teams out of that Division 1 tournament, we go back to D1. As far as the tournament, how it goes with North and South now, I wasn't happy last year how it played out for us. You know, we had to play a 4 o'clock game down there, and you know, we're out of school, we're on the bus, don't eat. We get down there and we got to jump on the ice. That's exactly what happened to us. And I've never in my 20 years of coaching Newburyport High School played a 4 o'clock game during the week on an hour and a half bus ride.
Right. Yeah, that's not cool. Well, I'm looking at your schedule, Coach, and the teams you just mentioned. You've got them there. You've got BC High. You've got St. John's Prep later on in the season. And coming up on Wednesday, it's St. Mary's. So tell me a little bit about St. Mary's and then the toughness of your schedule.
Well, St. Mary's is always, you know, we've been playing them for a long time, and Coach Lee does a great job there. It's always a challenge, and that's why we play them. We've been doing home and home with them, I think, for 3 or 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've developed a little rivalry there. And you know, Jed and I, my assistant coach, Jed Beauplant, when we got the job, our goal was to be able to compete against the best teams in the state. And, you know, I don't expect to win all our games. We're okay with that. But if we can go out there and compete and play the top teams, I'd rather do that than you know, play a weaker team and win. So I think that we've been able to do that. I think that this will allow us to be ready for the tournament. you know, playing these teams, and we should be battle tested. And I think it, you know, that's been the philosophy from day one.
Hey, final question. Can you tell me about your captains, Coach?
Yeah, we have a great group of seniors this year. We have seven seniors, and, you know, not all of them are captains, but Max Puglio is a senior defenseman. He was our captain last year as a junior. We have Zach McHugh as another captain. He was our assistant last year as a junior. We have Cam Caponagro, assistant captain. Ryan Philbin and Jamie Brooks are a returning goalie. They're all senior returners. They're all four-year players and all deserving of wearing a letter on our program. Sometimes we have two captains. Sometimes we have four.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we just felt as though they all deserve something. So
awesome. Great tradition at Newburyport High School, Coach, since you've been there. Keep it going, and I want to check in with you from time to time, if you don't mind.
I'd love to talk to you guys. I appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Paul. Take care. Be well.
All right, Rick. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
That's Paul Yamin, who was the Newburyport High School hockey coach. And when I read that article about his tendon, he tore his Achilles tendon last year, and I thought it was on this year. I thought it said 2022 in the paper, and I was...
I want to check the date on the paper that you're reading now.
Well, it's on the Internet, so it's difficult sometimes. And it did say what do you call that? The dateline said 2022, October 2022. It was wrong, and I was wrong. So anyway, Coach Yamin is healed now. That's good. And they're off to a tough schedule. They've got a very difficult schedule. But as I said, I was talking to someone this past week who did see them play, and he said they're big, they're strong, they're fast, and they're going to be good. So I have no doubt about that.
That's so typical of the teams up in that area. They're always big. They're strong. You know, they're well coached. So,
Yep. Well, and
nothing out of the ordinary.
Exactly. And let us not forget that Coach Yamin has more than 200 wins as a high school hockey coach at Newburyport. So we'll be back, and next up will be Coach Dale Dunbar. Looking forward to talking with him. It's been a few months since we've chatted, talking about Winthrop hockey. We'll be back.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Writer at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
And we are back live, and Winthrop High School hockey coach and NHL agent Dale Dunbar has rejoined us. Tim Kearns is our co-host and our sports analyst and our ambassador of goodwill. Bill Proposky, our engineer and producer, and of course, Bill Proposky is our Mr. Everything. Coach, welcome back to MSO. How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
I think we're doing good. Tim's okay. We're okay.
Yeah, I'm just getting over being sick.
Yeah.
Last week. I was laid up for almost a week, but back at it now.
What was it? Was it, I'm sorry, Tim.
It's a chest cold. It's just a chest cold.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, that's. Did you have those a lot over the years, Coach, where you got, you know, hockey schedule? We were just talking to Paul Yamin up in Newburyport, and high school hockey schedules, in terms of practice, ice time is crazy. And so, you know, sometimes you have these real ridiculously early hours and ridiculously late hours. Did it ever affect your health as a kid or as a younger guy?
I don't think so. I just think, you know, as you get older, I'm more, maybe I'm not immune to, my immune system's not as good as it used to be. I could be outside all day before. Now, in and out of rinks, you know, I think you just, wear down a little bit, and, I think that was part of mine, contributing factor for me.
Mm.
So, you know, Coach, at some point, you got to realize, you just got to stay out of these cold buildings.
Yeah, I wish.
I know.
I remember going to see some of my players play out on the West Coast, and they're going to the rinks in flip-flop shorts and T-shirts, and I'm saying, wow, this must be nice.
Oh, yeah. That must be. It's also weird to a guy from the Northeast.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is.
Coach, you had. But by the way, I want to thank you again for that little roundtable we had at the end of the season last year. Last time I talked with you and three other coaches, and it was so informative, so much fun. And the other three coaches really, really appreciated your participation in that. So thank you once again. And let's,
oh, that was great. I really enjoyed it myself. Anytime you can sit down with hockey guys and throw things around and get different perspectives on things, I think it's healthy. It's healthy for everybody because the game evolves so much all the time. You're constantly trying to create new ways for your team and adapt to the different, systems that you might be able to implement, that you see, other teams using or what have you. But I love those things. I love sitting around with coaches and just throwing things around. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, are you guys, with the Larson Rink, is that the MDC rink over on the water?
No, that's East Boston.
Oh, okay.
That's Peraza Rink in East Boston.
Hey, Tim, okay. Larson's still cold, believe me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure is.
Okay. So, the other thing, Dale, about that roundtable and just listening to you and Coach Yamin, and other stuff, Tim and I are always so impressed with the fact that even coaches who are not in the school building teachers are teachers. And one of the things, reading your resume and talking to the guys we had on, it's how much you care for the overall development of a student athlete. And it's not, I mean, you're focused to win. You have a competitive drive, all of you do. But it's taking care of the kid. And I think, I hope parents understand that.
Well, it's ironic. When I was on the phone with you, I was writing a, it's ironic. I was writing a letter of recommendation. That Carter Laramie, the captain of Marblehead, his mom asked me if I would write something. And because Carter comes to my my fall program for the last 4 years with all the Marblehead kids, and I've developed a great relationship with the kids and the families. I mean, I've got to meet some of the families, and I'm in Marblehead a lot, so I'll see them, see the kids. And, that's the rewarding part. And in there, I said, ironically, Carter's captain of one of our biggest rivals, yet I consider him one of the finest young men that I've ever had come through my program. He's a high character kid, very charismatic, exemplary leader. He has all the intangibles, and I hope he can get through he had a devastating injury. He tore his ACL and a few other things in fall hockey in a game. But he's such a focused young man. I think he's going to be back to play hopefully in January. But, it's funny. You care about every kid you come in contact with. Like I always say, they're not all made in the bakery. They're not all the same recipes. There's all different things that go into every different player. And, they all have issues on, off the ice, what have you, and you just try to do your best to get the best out of them, make them realize, what their future could be, if whether it's in hockey or not. But all those things you learn in sports, in hockey, and anything you're in, the locker rooms, the different voices of coaches, they all contribute to your future.
Good story. Good story. Tim?
Coach, what's the makeup of the team this year?
That's a great question, Tim, because we had a meeting today after practice. We're trying to create a healthy competition within practice. We scrimmage every single day, so you can't pace yourself. You can't hide out there. We don't do many drills. We play, and then we'll blow things down and go over it from what they're taught. And our depth chart has just been all over the map so far. I think we have a really good first line. I think could be a very good second line. And then we have some young players after that who are all trying to find their way. And goaltending, I think we have three solid goaltenders. We have four D with a young one coming along. So it's going to be a work in progress all year for us. We squeaked one out the other night. We played well against Bishop Fenwick. We were able to get that one, but we have Linfield on Wednesday, which I think is I'm sure he always, you know, the brothers always bring a very good competitive program. We always have great battles with them. So we'll see. But right now it's a work in progress. We're going to have different kids moving around and hopefully we can, get some chemistry.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
Aspect of, every practice is a trial for the starting lineup the next game?
Not so much that, but it's trying to get the young kids to realize, hey, I'm not just here, I'm happy I'm on varsity. You know, we need you to compete for a spot. Because I always tell them, there's always one of three things, or two, or sometimes they all come across the table, is sickness, grades, and then you just get beat out of your position. Those three things have always been evident in every year that I've coached. And so it's, don't get complacent. You know, it's. I know this sounds cliche with the next man up, but it sort of is, because we're trying to develop our young kids quick, because they're going to be, they could be put right into a role this year, but certainly next year they're going to be, you know, with our graduating seniors, they're going to be thrust into positions that they have to be ready to go. So we're trying to create an atmosphere where, you know, you're learning the system while you're playing the system. So if you are put in the game, you've already been playing in the game atmosphere. We don't do many drills as far as, you know, we break it up into, like, let's just say today's Monday. Today is more of a defensive day, so we'll work on our forecheck, our face-offs, our D-zone, and penalty kill. And then tomorrow's an offensive day, the day before game, so we do power play. We'll do, you know, a little scrimmage. We might throw in a game at the end, so it's all about shooting and scoring and passing, but it's all about offense. And then you have the game on Wednesday. During the longer weeks, we might, you know, elaborate a little bit more on a couple of days of defense and maybe a couple of days of offense before a game. But I like to play small area games so the reactionary time is quick. You have to move pucks. We'll have different rules within the game, double pass, one-timers. So they're always working on something.
Are you always working on something, Dale? Because you guys know so much hockey, and you know so much hockey. I was always amazed listening to Roger Day in baseball, because I thought I knew baseball, but 5 minutes worth of Roger Day puts me to shame. You know, it's encyclopedic. But he still goes to these things, or he did. Do you still study the game, coach? And if you do, how do you do that? Because it's time.
I think the best, I love going, you know, I tell young players, if you ever go to a Bruins game or a college game, sit up top, sit as high as you can. Mm-hmm. And you see the game develop, you know, looking down on it. And if you can never develop that on the ice as your vision, as you were up on the ice, you know, up high looking down, you're going to be a good player because you'll see exactly how the game evolves. You have to be a step ahead of everything. You have to, it's almost like baseball. You're not waiting for the ball to hit you before you know what you're supposed to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to already know the next progression. And that's very hard for kids today because, you know, they don't play a lot of games. A lot of kids don't put in the time for practice. There's not a lot of street hockey, you know, where you were learning a lot of that stuff, you know, instinctively without even knowing it. So the time you're actually putting in isn't a lot. So you really have to be a student of the game, too, to understand how the game is played before you're actually playing.
Wow.
Coach, you ever take the kids out and have them play street hockey, kind of a throwback day?
You know, we haven't, Tim. You know, it's funny. We've been, it's so crazy. Like, we've had major illness. We've had like 8 kids out of our lineup during the week of practice. Our kids going home sick. It's been very tough to keep them out in the elements. And I'd love to use the gym inside, but it's always being used for basketball. But yeah, I mean, those types of days are invaluable. Because, you know, you're almost tricking them into doing the things you want them to do while having a lot of fun at it. You know, like, street hockey would be great to do. It really would. We'll do some different things. But again, I try to, you know, like talking about implementing things, the way we scrimmage, I'll only scrimmage with three lines, and because that's basically what you're playing in the game, and then I'll sprinkle in the fourth line once in a while, because there's your conditioning. You don't have the time to get on the line and waste time doing that in an hour practice. You know, your conditioning. So we condition within the scrimmage. You know, like they have to change on the fly. They have to, all your principles about getting pucks deep, making the D have to go back, how you change, how you, you know, you might get into your one man because you can't get to the, but it's all conditioning. They are dead at the end of practice. So, you know, there's different ways you have to trick them into doing it, but yeah, I would love to do, you know, we do a lot of small area games, but yeah, street hockey would be awesome because I got to tell you, I learned so much from street hockey because you had nowhere to go. Everything was right there. Your reaction every time was a split second,
yeah.
But you were having fun too. So yeah, I would love to do it, but we don't have the time.
Sounds like a modification of what I heard from Bobby Orr many, many years ago. I don't know if it was in the Boston Globe or on the radio, and he said, you know, to parents, he was giving advice to parents, and he said, look, take them out to the nearest pond, throw some pucks on the ice, come back 2 hours later.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that, because there's no whistles, there's no parent, there's no coach. They figure it out. They throw the sticks in the middle, divvy it up, and go play. And believe it or not, your skill set will become a lot more ahead of schedule doing that, because A, they're having fun, and B, they're just, again, you know, you're figuring it out, and you don't have much time to do it. You know, and like I said, you know, you stick a couple of nets out there, and we used to go over to my buddy's house. We thought we were skating on this huge place when we were kids. You go back now, and it was the size of your bathroom. You know, it's crazy, but that's what I think made us all have really good hands and, you know, vision and, you know, that competitiveness you need.
You know, thinking back to when I was younger, we put up a backboard on the light post on the street, and then my father put one up on the garage at my house. My buddies had one on the garage in their driveway. We had like four or five different basketball nets, you know, that we could have away games still, you know, on the same
street. Absolutely.
You know, and
you're right. It was once up the size of a post stamp, and, you know, we used to have this, there's a couple of different sections, the Highlands where I live, there's the center, there's the point, and then we'd play, over near Pico Park, and we'd rotate, and again, you know, these are kids that organize their own games in school, no cell phones, no computers. You know, you bring your 5-6 best, we'll meet you over here, and we literally would carry nets to the different places and play. And I think there's so much to be said for that, because you are creating your own. And yeah, I was Bobby Orr, you know, in the game, or somebody else was somebody else, and it was so much fun. But the benefit was whatever you were lacking, you know, in ice time, because, you know, that's at a premium, you were supplementing it out there and getting a lot more out of it because you're touching the puck or the ball a lot more than you were anywhere else.
I got so many more questions to ask you, Dale, but we're going to have to save it for another day. Before we go, though, two things I want to ask you about your captains. It looks like there's some familiar names here on the roster, and then your upcoming game with Linfield.
My captains are junior P. Silverman, who, you know, has really evolved into a nice player, and he deserves to be a captain as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot for our program, and he's a pace setter out there. He's always, you know, leading the way, and I think, he's been very good. Jack Hayes is a senior, right winger. He's on his line. Those two are the guys that play, oh my God, they play so much, and, you know, the other night we were lucky this week when we had to kill 2 5-on-3s and then
wow.
A penalty in overtime. Then we got a power play to win it in overtime, but they never came off the ice. They were dead. Then we have three. Robin Noonan is a senior. This kid's amazing. He's an assistant captain as a senior. He's he's the heart and soul of the team. You know, whatever he lacks in his skill set, he makes up in his character and his heart. Unfortunately, He's the senior captain of the football team and tore his ACL next to the last game in football, which he was, and it's amazing. I saw him the day before Thanksgiving. He said, "Coach, I'm playing tomorrow." I said, "What do you mean you're playing tomorrow?" He goes, "I'm playing, I convinced everybody I'm fine. I'm going to play in the game. Then I'm going to have surgery on Tuesday."
Mm.
I said, "What are you talking about?" He did. He went out, threw a touchdown. They beat Revere. He played the game. He didn't play both ways like he normally does. He only played quarterback. But to see that kid out there playing on Thanksgiving Day, because it meant so much to him as a senior, as the captain, it was amazing. And that's the kid that we're missing on the ice right now, that and what he brings. So he's there, and then we have junior Billy Hayes, a real tough kid. He's really evolving. His brother was one of our captains last year. He's going to be a good one. And then Nathan Evangelista. So, you know, I like our leadership group. I think they all bring something different. I don't like having a lot of guys, but these guys each bring something that I think they don't trip over each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then against Linfield, we'll, you know, we always have wars with them. We have great games with them. So I think, you know, then we have a little break, and then we'll be right back at it. And this season just flies, so
yeah.
it's going to be you know, a battle of staying healthy and hopefully you know, being able to just implement the things that we're doing now and you know, keep it going.
All right, Tim, you got the final word with Coach Dunbar.
Oh, George, listen, get healthy, stay healthy, and keep racking up the wins.
Well, we're always trying, you know, we always try, and, you know, the message is, we have a bullseye on our back. No team ever shows up and wins. There's a preparation to it, there's a lot of hard work to it, and as long as we do that, hopefully we'll be in the battle, at the end.
Thank you so much, Dale, for joining us tonight, and you know we're gonna be bugging you during the season.
Anytime.
Thank you, Coach. Talk to you later. Good luck this week.
See you, Sam.
Okay.
All right.
That's Dale Dunbar, who is the Winthrop High School hockey coach. He's also an NHL agent. We didn't talk any pros tonight because we want to get into the high school scene. And great story, Tim. Man, he's got some good stories there.
Oh yeah, you know, the people that he knows, the people that he's interacted with over the years. You know, and that's a lot of book material.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But just listen, every time I talk to these guys, I learn something. And you know, I meant what I said. It's so impressive on how much our area coaches care for the youngsters that they're working with. It's really cool. Okay, if all goes well, we'll have Mike Grenier next. And Mike is our basketball insider. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore with Tim Kearns and Bill Proposky. Bill Newell working on the Salem News Sports Writer podcast that will be dropped in the morning. So we'll take a break, and we'll be back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSONewsSports.com is connecting you to the North Shore. A real local news and sports podcast giving you updates from around Essex County. Spotlight feature interviews with area newsmakers. The North Shore Today Post features community updates and local photos and useful links. This is the place to hear and see positive local coverage, making the connections that support the North Shore community.
Okay, got the right number this time. Tim Kearns, our co-host, is with us. We're joined now by Mike Grenier, sports historian, sports writer, and our basketball insider, and the author of the famous Mike's Power Five. So,
yeah, I've been actually up in the yard playing catch with Jacoby Myers.
Okay, Tim and I, we made a pact. We're not going down that road to talk about the team.
Okay, I know.
The team formerly known as the six-time champions, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I got to say this, Rick. You're around the same age as I am. I'm not quite sure if Tim's a little younger than us, right?
Yep.
I got to say, I really watched this team since 1960. I'm talking about the Patriots.
62 years, yep.
Yeah, and 62 years. And honestly, I've never seen a play that was less intelligent than that one.
Well, it seems to me that we have seen the best play in Patriots history in, when Malcolm Butler won that Super Bowl game.
Yes.
And we've seen the worst. So hopefully that's the end of the worst.
We can't complain. Even at 7-7, maybe a lot of people didn't think they were going to be that good this year. But anyway, on to the Boston Celtics.
All right, Tim.
I just think they've, you know, hit a little trough. They're not well. The defense has been sloppy. But they've played at such a high level, and every team that does this does have a period where, you know, the engine runs out of steam. You know, and I think they just need a few days off in a row where they can collect themselves, where they can sit down and really look at the way they've been playing, not just have a night or a day to go, yeah, okay, let's talk about it. No, you need a few days where the bodies can recharge, the heads can recharge, and then get back into the flow of what they were doing before, which is just basically kicking everybody's ass.
Right, and you know what? I think there's a couple of things at work here, Tim. I think you hit the nail on the head regarding every team's going to have the skids and all that. But when they came back from that road trip of six games, including three West Coast games at 4-2, I was pretty pleased with that, considering that, you know, Robert Williams wasn't back yet, and they were a little nicked up. And so I was pretty happy with that. But then to come home on Friday night, just three or four nights ago, and to play the Orlando Magic, which were 1-11 on the road before they played the Celtics twice at the Boston Garden. And I thought Friday's game would be a cakewalk for the Celtics because they got Al Horford back. They got Robert Williams back. Tatum was playing. And Orlando, obviously one of the bottom feeders in the league, I thought that would be a cakewalk. And then they would win again in a back-to-back situation against the same team on Sunday. And so to me, the most surprising aspect was not the two losses on the road, on that road trip. It was the two losses against a bad team, which has been playing well lately. But to have Horford back and to have Robert Williams back and then to look miserable in those two games, that's what stunned me.
I want to ask you about that, Mike, because I didn't watch the second game, but the first game, home game, when Williams came back in, I don't know if it was my eyes or I'm just making things up, but they looked out of sync from the get-go. They didn't have that chemistry that they've shown, you know, through the first quarter of the season. Now, I don't know if it has anything to do with Williams being, coming into the, he wasn't starting, I don't believe, but they
He came off the bench. You're right. And, I think when, anytime you incorporate a player who's been out for a while, it's tougher to, it'll take a while to get in sync. And I think Tim would say the same thing. And, so it took a while, but I thought Robert Williams played very well his first game, 4-for-4 from the floor, all dunks, obviously. He's had three block shots in two games, so he's had an impact defensively and a little bit offensively. I was stunned and very disappointed at Al Horford, who came back from a five-game absence and picked up a flagrant two.
Yeah.
And got thrown out of the game on Friday night. That's not Al Horford's character, as we know, to be a punk-type player on the floor. He's not Draymond. And for him to be ejected from the game was so surprising. And in the competitive game, and they missed him when he went out, and they lost that game. And then they come back, paid him as out for personal reasons. And to me, they looked really vulnerable without Jalen, without Jason. It just looked like a different team. Tatum is averaging 30 points a game, but, you know, Jaylen Brown's averaging 26, and other guys should have been able to make up that difference. And for some reason, they just really looked very poor, I thought, on the second game against Orlando without Tatum. So Tim pointed a couple of things out. There's no way, right, Tim, that the Celtics could keep averaging 118 points a game. They only scored 92 on Sunday night, and they only scored a little over 100 on Friday night. So they're struggling on offense. Certain guys have tailed off in terms of shooting. Sam Hauser, I was looking him up the last, since the month of December began, he's only shooting 25% on three-pointers, and obviously his bread and butter is three-pointers. So he's tailed off. Marcus Smart is not shooting the three very well at all, although he's playing well overall. So I just, you know, there's various things that are cropping up right now, and I think this is where Joe Mazzulla comes in and says, okay, we got to straighten some things out, and here's what we're going to do. I think he has to have a lot of input right now to get this team back on track.
Yeah, no doubt. CJ's how good of a coach he is. You know, it's easy coaching a team that's scoring 118 points every single night or more and just rolling through people. Now, how do you make adjustments? What adjustments are you going to make? You know, I was pleased to see Robert Williams back, and pleased that he followed my advice and stay underneath the hoop and just dunk the ball.
That's right.
It's not out there throwing threes, so do what you do best is sky and just run it through and protect the net. So, you know, that's good. I'm getting a little tired of Al Horford having to take all this time. Oh, you can't play back. I think he can go back to back. You just manage the minutes. You just don't put him out there for 35, 40 minutes.
Right.
But you up there every night, so he just remains consistent. Because you got to play to stay consistent. You know, he's taking these nights off or two nights off. To me, even if you're that old and you think you need it, you have to play. You have to stay in a flow. You know, Bill Russell, his last year when he was player coaching the team, he didn't take a night off.
No, not at all.
I remember being at the Garden one game and being up in the first balcony and literally, not thinking about the logic that he was employing, because he was much smarter than me, obviously, but he would take plays off.
Yes, yes.
Set it up, and he would just, like, sort of trot towards half court. The rest of the team would fly down the court, get a layup, and he'd turn around and come back and play half court.
Yep, yep.
And I'm thinking, come on, Russell, get going. And I'm screaming, and then all of a sudden, he's glad I went. I know what he was doing. He was saving energy. So get the rebound, get it out, head back towards defense. If you need to be, you can be the first guy back on defense. Get play. Be on the floor. Be on the bench. None of this, you're taking the night off, don't worry about it. No, I don't like that.
Well, you know, but that's unfortunately that's the modern game, although to underscore your point, guys who are just as old or older than Horford play a lot. I'm thinking of LeBron James. Of course, he might be he's such a physical specimen. He's always kept in great shape, but he's 38 years old and he doesn't take a night off on the second night of back-to-backs. He often plays a lot more minutes than Al Horford, as a matter of fact. He often plays 30, when the Lakers are competitive, he'll play 37, 38, 40, 41 minutes, which is like, seems insane. But he's got the type of body and he's in such great condition that he plays a lot of minutes and he'll play back-to-back games. You know, I think of Chris Paul, the point guard for the Phoenix Suns, who's nearing the end of his career, but he's around 37 years old. And since he's come back from injury, he doesn't take nights off. So it can be done. And I think you made a good point, Tim, in maybe managing the minutes better. And that's going to be Mazzulla's job. If he could play 25 minutes on game one of the back-to-back and then play 24 minutes in game two, at least you have them available for half a game both nights. So
right. That's
a great point. So you wonder if they'll go that route because they certainly have a better chance of winning when Al Horford's on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, what do you see coming up this week? And then maybe we can talk about your Power Five.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you want a Power Five tonight?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Well, I know who's not number one.
I'm sorry?
I know who's not number one.
Well, yeah, we have, there's a little change in the hierarchy of the Power Five here. I'm gonna go, I gotta mention this, guys, before we go into the Power Five. there's a performance last night that really stood out. At halfway through the season, maybe we'll start talking about MVP candidates. But Nikola Jokic, who's out there in Denver, not getting noticed too much by the East Coast fans or the East Coast media, last night had one of the great triple-doubles of the modern era. 40 points, 27 rebounds, and 10 assists.
Wow.
And the reason, 27 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds. And the reason I mention that is, Rick and Tim, is that 27 rebounds, you don't see that in the modern era. Those were the days of Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain. They would get you 25, 30 rebounds or even more. But these days, with guys taking threes and all that stuff and shooting overall a higher percentage in the old days, you don't see a guy getting 27 rebounds. But Jokic, I love his game. He looks like this slow European guy who can't play. But, man, at the end of the night, he puts up great numbers. And I personally saw him play at the Garden earlier this year. And he's one of the best interior passers that I've ever seen. He has a real sixth sense of where his teammates are, cutting to the basket or cutting into the lane. And he's a phenomenal passer. And but for him last night to get 27 rebounds to go with 40 points. And they won, too. And they have a good record. So they're hovering near the Power Five, but they're not there. So here we go with the Power Five. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans, who crept into it last week at the number five spot.
Mm-hmm.
At the number four spot, I'm going with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who still, you know, you keep waiting for them to fall apart because you think they're the Cleveland Cavaliers, but no, they've been consistent, so they're my number four team. My number three team will be the Memphis Grizzlies, who beat the Bucks by 40 points in a game within the last week. That's how strong they can be on a given night. They just run the floor so well. They're explosive, and they're my number three team. The Boston Celtics, I don't know how quiet I should be about this, they've slipped the number two spot. As we know, Tim, they've only won 5 of their last 10 games, and these last two losses at the Garden against a subpar 500 team, Orlando, just, you know, obviously they have to slip below that top spot. And the Milwaukee Bucks, who bounced back from a 40-point loss by winning by 30 in the next game, slide into the number one spot. And overall, they have the NBA's best records just by a few percentage points over the Celtics. So the Celtics and the Bucks are right there as far as overall record through 31, 32 games. But the Bucks have played the better basketball in the last week or two.
That all makes perfect sense. You know, I mean, the Celts are on the high. They've a little bit of the air has come out of the balloon, and now they've just got to catch their breath and reinflate and reestablish. I don't think it's a hard job for them. I think they know what they have to do.
Right.
What they can achieve once they get going. So, you know, I would just like to see them just call a halt to playing for like 4 or 5 days. Like, you know, get some deep breaths and clear the head.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's one thing I wanted to point out, Tim and Rick, is that in the few games, like the last few games that I've watched so closely, is that their turnover ratio has gone way up. I mean, overall right now, they're sixth in the NBA in the amount of turnovers per game. That's really good. You know, they're in the top 10. They don't turn it over that much. But in the last 3 or 4 or 5 games, they've turned it over a lot. 17 times last night. Jaylen Brown, as great an athlete as he is, it bothers me, Rick, when he goes into traffic. It's like a
Always.
Driver on Storrow Drive. You
Always.
Can't trust him.
Yep.
He goes into traffic and seems to bounce the ball off his knee or off his foot, or two defenders come up upon him and he loses the ball. And it's a little nerve-wracking when he's got the ball. On the other hand, if he gets... he can play through contact and get fouls and make crazy shots, and so you got to take the good with the bad. But I think he has to be more careful with the ball. And as a team, the Celtics have been careless with the basketball in the last, I'd say, 5 or 6, 7 games. They've been really careless with the ball.
Does that mean, is that a result of concentration or lack thereof, or the other team playing better D? Because I'm going with a lack of concentration, because many of those turnovers that I see that drive me nuts are what they call, like in tennis, they're called unforced turnovers.
Correct. That's exactly the term I would use, Tim, too, right? And Rick, unforced turnovers. We've seen it even with Malcolm Brogdon, who's been the best penetrator on the team. He often either finishes, tries to finish the basket and gets fouled, or he'll dish out. He's had one game recently, he came in the first minute that he was in, he turned it over twice. He got deep into the hole near the basket and just made a careless pass that was deflected and stolen. So there have been a lot of unforced turnovers, a lot of carelessness with the ball, even when they're throwing these crazy, you know, cross-court passes to an open guy for an open three-pointer. There's been a lot of bad passes in that regard. So a lack of concentration is definitely a huge part of the turnover problem right now. And it's definitely hurting. I mean, you have 17 turnovers. That's, 17 fewer possessions, and if they average 9 or 10 and they're now committing 17, that's 7 fewer possessions to score. So, I mean, sometimes it leads to a fast break for the opposing team. So it's a double-edged sword and not a good one.
You know, Mike, I think part of it is, they suddenly find themselves struggling. So now there's the mental trap of, okay, we got to play fast. Okay, I have to make something happen. They're kind of losing the we and sort of sliding to the me, because I'm going to be the one that sort of takes us out of this slump, and that's not a good frame of mind to have.
Right. And you know what? Marcus Smart used the word I thought was really definitive last night when he said, we're pressing. We fall behind. When our shots aren't falling, all of a sudden we look at each other and we start to press. And exactly what you said, Tim, at that point, one guy wants to be the hero. And you start to play a little bit of a hero ball. All that being said, they still have 50 games to correct things and be in a great position for the playoffs. But right now, before Christmas here, they're going through this skid. And if we were talking a year ago at this time, right, Rick, I think they were around 500 or below 500, and everybody was wondering, will Udoka work out as a coach? What's wrong with Tatum? He's too selfish. What's wrong with Jaylen Brown? So they're much better off than they were a year ago, and our expectations all of a sudden are through the ceiling,
Absolutely.
And so therefore we have a different perspective on the team because of how it ended last year in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, and let's look at, if we could, as we wind this thing down, Mike, they're in the middle of a 7-game long homestand, but 3 games this week, and how do you see Pacers, Timberwolves, and then the Mighty Bucks?
Well, you know what, the Pacers aren't a bad team. They've improved a bit. The Minnesota Timberwolves, on paper, have a very good roster, but they've had some injury. Karl Anthony Towns, their big man, has been out for a few weeks now. But Anthony Edwards he had 37 points a couple nights ago. Great scorer. So that's a dangerous game. I think, if you look at it on paper, I think they beat the Pacers. The Minnesota Timberwolves could give them a good game, but I think the Celtics, if they're playing right, will handle them. But when it comes down to the Milwaukee Bucks, that's a great Christmas Day game. And, I guess you want to open your presents quickly, because I think that's going to be at least put it on DVR and watch it after the kids go to bed and after Santa leaves the house, because that's going to be a heck of a game. The Bucks want to stay on top. They have their full roster now that Chris Middleton is back from injuries. Pat Connaughton's been playing okay lately. They have a great starting time. Drew Holiday, their great point guard, was out for a few games with injury. He's back. So that's a marquee matchup on Christmas Day. And I know the NBA likes smoke. It's 5 or 6 games that day. But to me, that's the best of them all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I watch it, Mike, and it's like the glue that has bound them together is kind of like flaking off, and they've just got to calm themselves down. There's good competition out there, and don't panic. Just play your game. Stay within yourself, because that's been the key. And a lot of these other teams in the league that have had guys hurt, they've been able to exploit it, are getting healthy. They're going to be able to be a bit more competitive. So now there's the upping of the ante.
That's right, no doubt.
Other teams.
That's right. And, in the long run, if the Celtics really want to do business in the playoffs, you want to have home court advantage throughout those Eastern Conference Finals.
especially when the Milwaukee Bucks loom so large on the schedule. And you know what, guys, we have not mentioned a team that is very kind of despicable, has been playing phenomenal, the Brooklyn Nets. They've won 9 of the last 10. You know, obviously Durant is still playing great. Kyrie is scoring 30-31. However, we know he's not a good defender, but something is working over there right now. They're like fourth in the Eastern Conference. They're right behind Cleveland, and they've won 9 of the last 10. They're playing well overall, although when I've looked at their scores and checked it, they've done it against a lot of bad teams. They beat the Pistons by 3 points. They beat, let's say, the Pacers by 4. They have not done it against the really great competition, but you can play the schedule, and right now they're playing the schedule, and they're winning these games. So they're kind of in the mix right now as a team that would have a home court advantage, at least in the first round of the playoffs, by finishing, you know, fourth. So who knows what happens in the next 50 games. Kyrie might go to India. Who knows? you just don't know with him. And you don't know with Ben Simmons because he's in and out of the lineup with various types of injuries. Who knows?
Who are the Red Sox players?
They're playing great.
Who are the Red Sox players who went to Israel during the season?
Oh, yeah, right.
Gene Conley, was it? Gene Conley, I think it was.
Yeah, there was.
Frank Sullivan.
I can't recall right now, but that was a beauty.
They got on a plane in the middle of the season and go to Israel. Okay. Hey, listen, Mike, we're going to be off, obviously, next Monday and the Monday after. So we'll see you in a few weeks and hope we have some better news and that the Power Five goes back to the way it was.
That's right, and I want to wish, you know, on behalf of all you guys, I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year with your families and anybody else who might be checking us out here tonight.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you, Mike, and your family, and be well.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
You too.
All right, Tim. Big plans for the holidays or just staying home?
Well, we'll go to my sister-in-law's. Actually, we're going to her house both days. We're going Christmas Eve, which we always do, and then on the rotating schedule, it's our turn.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be back for Christmas dinner, and then for New Year's Eve, we go and do sushi.
All right. Okay. All right, Coach, very Merry Christmas to you and Medium, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Rick, to you, Martha, Caitlin, everybody in the family, and rest easy. Stay healthy.
All right, Tim. You too. Thank you. Talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye. That's Tim Kearns, who is our co-host, super analyst, and our ambassador of goodwill. And to everyone listening to this and everyone who has joined us this year, making this our most successful year ever, and in no small part to the gaining of the North Shore Sports Desk and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk with Nick and Nick. And that show will be dropping on Thursday, as it always does. They have added so much to our programming, and you are listening and watching it and checking in on it, so we really appreciate that. Everybody have a wonderful holiday season. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you in a few weeks. On behalf of Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Be well.